CFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An expert on terrorism who lives in Wisconsin says the Palestinian people shouldn't be blamed for Hamas's attack in Israel. Samuel Gold is an Appleton lawyer who worked on anti-terrorism efforts in Israel from 2015 to 2018. He spoke with Civic Media's Todd Alba about Hamas.
It is a Palestinian terrorist organization, but I would not hold every Palestinian responsible.
Hundreds of people are dead and many more are wounded. Wisconsin's entire congressional delegation is condemning the attack. A slate of bills aimed at restricting or clarifying Wisconsin abortion laws are on their way to the full state Senate. Nate Wegehout has more.
The Senate Committee on Licensing, Constitution, and Federalism passed the bills largely along party lines. One bill would allow a pregnant person to claim a fetus as a dependent on their taxes. Another would give grants to anti-abortion organizations for their crisis pregnancy centers. A third would allow abortions in cases of miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies. Only one bill got bipartisan support, a bill to help fund adoption services. The bills have yet to get a hearing in the Assembly. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's latest public schools report card comes out today. The Department of Public Instruction is releasing its student assessment results. Students took standardized tests in reading, writing, and math last spring. Nearly 60% of Wisconsin public school students are not reading or writing at grade level. Test scores across Wisconsin have been flat or gone down each year since the coronavirus pandemic. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Ty Simpson is an advocate for survivors. Nearly one in three women experience domestic violence in their lifetimes. Simpson says abuse comes in many forms.
It's removing somebody and isolating them from their friends and family. It is ridicule. It is jokes and pranks. It is violence against children and animals. It is financial abuse, preventing somebody access from money and funding and food and a car, preventing them from going to the doctor or to church or to their job.
Simpson says it's important to model healthy relationships for young people. She says sex education and access to reproductive health care are also important. First Lady Jill Biden is in northeastern Wisconsin today. The White House says Mrs. Biden will visit the Menominee Tribe of Wisconsin. Last night, she was at a Packer watch party in Green Bay hosted by the American Cancer Society. It's part of the Biden Cancer Moonshot that aims to cut U.S. cancer death rates in half within 25 years. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa County Board will meet today to discuss the possible removal of Sheriff Travis Hakes from his role. The board is investigating a number of accusations against Sheriff Hakes, including reports of sexual harassment, a lack of training, and frequent absences from the job. Sheriff Hakes has vowed to fight what he calls a politically motivated inquiry. Chippewa County Board member Rob Tudeberg recently called on Sheriff Hakes to resign. After newly elected Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz declined to recuse herself from a redistricting case riddled with accusations of gerrymandering, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss appeared to indicate he wants to take the matter to the United States Supreme Court. According to Molly Beck of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Speaker Voss said, quote, "We think the United States Supreme Court precedent compels a recusal, and the United States Supreme Court will have the last word here." Voss is also considering impeachment proceedings against the newly elected justice. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers lose to the Raiders. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers, on the road last night in Las Vegas, put on a show but came up short. And Jordan Love trying to find Christian Watson open in the end zone. Joe Buck on ESPN.
Four-man rush. Love, end zone. Intercepted. Good night. Picked off by Amik Robertson.
Intercepted, the Packers would go on to lose 17-13 to the Raiders on Monday Night Football. Raiders defensive back Amik Robertson after the interception.
After the play, I wanted to be the reason. You know, because at the end of the day, I want to show the world who I am.
The Packers wide receiver Christian Watson.
We're gonna shape ourselves. We got to continue to improve in every aspect. You know, obviously I'm on the offensive side of the ball, so I'm looking more there. And we got to help our defense out a little bit more. I think we have the opportunity to be a really good football team. We just got to, you know, find a way to be better throughout the whole game, find some more consistency.
Ask Jordan Love what he saw on the play.
Yeah, in that play, you know, once I kind of stepped up in the pocket, I just kind of saw Christian. I felt like he had the DB beat by a little bit. You know, thought we could make a play to go win it right there in the end zone. Kind of just underthrew it. Didn't get enough on it. Didn't get it out there enough. And, you know, the DB made a good play.
In all, Jordan Love threw 3 interceptions in the game. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I think any time when you have 3 turnovers, it's tough to overcome that. And we got to do a better job. I think a couple of those plays, the one bang-bang play where Jordan tried to throw the ball to Christian, it's just one of those plays that happens. And then he was trying to give him a chance at the end of the game there.
So the Packers fall to 2-3 and head into the bye week with linebacker Quay Walker and safety Darnell Savage both leaving the game with injuries. The Raiders improved to 2-3 and get ready to face the Patriots. Wide receiver Davante Adams.
It was good. I wish I could have been able to make, but at the end of the day, we beat them.
With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing? On in. Time for the Stu Daniels Show on your local Civic Media radio station. I am your host, Stu Daniels. You can hear this show Monday through Friday from 8 till 10 a.m. And we've got a lot of information to get to you today. Let's get started. First of all, the weather outside today in La Crosse, mostly sunny with a high around 57 degrees. Eau Claire today, mostly cloudy with a high around 55. In Richland Center today, mostly sunny, high around 59 degrees. Amory, partly sunny and a high around 54. And in Hayward today, cloudy skies, high around 49 degrees. And in sports, I don't have to tell you what happened last night with the Packers, do I? You know already that the Packers lost to the Raiders 17-13. Green Bay now 2-3 and in second place in the NFC North behind the 4-1 Lions. The Packers are off this week for their bye week, and then they go out to Denver to play the 1-4 Broncos a week from Sunday. So there are a lot of things in the news, a lot of news stories and updates. And the first thing I want to get to today, though, is an opinion piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, let me ask you this. Are you familiar with the League of Women Voters? Okay, you've probably heard of them before. Do you know what they do? Well, it's a nonprofit organization, the League of Women Voters. And not only is it a nonprofit organization, it's also a nonpartisan organization. According to Wikipedia, it's a nonpartisan political organization, and it was founded in 1920,
over 100 years ago. And its ongoing major activities include registering voters. I've always known that as like the main thing that the League of Women Voters does. But they also provide voter information and they advocate for voting rights. So you would assume that the League of Women Voters does have an opinion on what's going on in Wisconsin with the gerrymandered maps. Wisconsin, often said to be the state with the most gerrymandered maps. And it's pretty obvious when we see when we're voting for members of the assembly, our representatives in the assembly, we see that about two-thirds of the votes are for Democrats, but in the end, the representatives representing the citizens of Wisconsin in the assembly, it's actually about two-thirds Republican. So how does that happen if two-thirds of the votes are for Democrats, yet two-thirds of the representatives are Republicans? Well, the way that happens is because the maps are so gerrymandered that many of us in Wisconsin don't get the representation that we want. Instead, we get something different. And the reason why I mentioned the League of Women Voters is because the executive director of the Wisconsin chapter of the League of Women Voters, Deborah Cronmiller is her name. She has an op-ed piece in the Journal Sentinel right now with a headline that says, "No public input, party line vote, nothing fair about Wisconsin Republican redistricting bill." As you know, the Republicans submitted their redistricting bill. And if you're a Democrat or someone who tends to vote for Democrats, then there's nothing fair about the redistricting bill. Let me give you some of this op-ed piece in the Journal Sentinel from Deborah Cronmiller. It says here, Wisconsin is widely known as the most gerrymandered state in our country. This piece says redistricting happens once every 10 years and is of critical importance to our communities. More than just electoral maps, these districts determine the allocation of funding for schools, hospitals, public transport, clean water, childcare, and other essential services. A fair districting process is necessary to guarantee that communities in Wisconsin receive the resources they need in a just and equitable manner. It says every community issue can be negatively impacted by how our state's maps are drawn and can affect our lives for an entire decade. Lawmakers should not be allowed to rig or gerrymander the process in their own favor, carving up our communities, dividing our neighborhoods, or silencing certain voices for their own political gain. But they do. In fact, Wisconsin is widely known as the most gerrymandered state in our country. When we have gerrymandered maps, legislators in the majority party draw themselves into power. This means Wisconsin legislators are picking their voters. We know it should be the other way around. In 2011, the maps drawn in Wisconsin were not only gerrymandered by a handful of politicians that controlled the legislature, but they were also drawn in secret. Because legislators keep drawing themselves into winning districts, they don't have to listen to voters or address issues that the majority of Wisconsinites support. And to make matters worse, Wisconsin's state legislators recently pushed a redistricting bill through the assembly along party lines without public input to address gerrymandering. How could that ever result in fair maps? The proposed redistricting bill that the assembly passed last month fails to provide transparency in the map drawing process. It does not prohibit lobbyists, high-level donors, and those hired by legislative leaders from working on the redistricting process. And startlingly, it doesn't have the processes in place to ensure it is fully nonpartisan. In fact, with this current bill, the majority of the legislature would be able to reject the maps twice and then create their own gerrymandered maps in accordance with their goals and party, which could result in more of the same extremely gerrymandered legislative maps that we have now. Government is intended to be for the people and by the people, and Wisconsinites deserve a nonpartisan map drawing process that fits our state's needs. We need a bill built on cooperation, transparency, nonpartisanship, and public input. This bill fully disregards those values. One of the core principles of democracy is fair representation, where each voter's voice carries roughly equal weight. To preserve a fair and open democracy, we must ensure that every voter in every community is given an equal voice. That means holding our elected officials accountable, building awareness on the issue, making our voices heard by participating in upcoming elections, electing the right leaders, supporting legal challenges to gerrymandered maps, and even advocating for independent redistricting commissions who work together to create more balanced and equitable districts. At the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, we know that fair maps and voting rights are the same fight. Over the past 10 years, the word gerrymandering has gone from political jargon to a well-known issue that mobilizes voters. I've seen end gerrymandering signs pop up on more and more lawns throughout the state. Grassroots activists passed local referendums in their communities, and the work won't stop until we have a permanent, long-term solution to ensure fair maps for generations to come. The League of Women Voters and its grassroots volunteers have been part of a years-long effort to educate the public about gerrymandering and demand a permanent solution to ensure fair maps for generations to come. The League of Women Voters has been a champion of nonpartisan district maps for a very long time, including the Whitford versus Gill case in the federal courts, the only court to date that has ruled on the unconstitutionality of the maps drawn after the 2010 census. Today, our maps are back in the state Supreme Court seeking the same relief, fairly drawn maps that will allow for representative government in Wisconsin. Wisconsinites have been fighting long and hard for fair maps. We deserve a strong solution. And there's just one more paragraph to this, but we've run out of time. Got to take a quick break. I'll be back in a minute. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Timeout! All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy. We'll see highs in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Some patchy frost once again. Mostly sunny for Wednesday with a high near 57. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 41. For Thursday, chance of rain, breezy, 56.
Right now, 40 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Always and forever, each moment with you is just like a dream to me that somehow came true. And I know tomorrow will still be the same, 'cause we've got a life of love that won't ever change. And love me your own special way. Melt all my heart away with a smile. Take time to tell me you really care, and we'll set tomorrow together. Just the things that you do. And if you get lonely, phone me and take a second to give to me that magic you make. And every day, love me your own.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Tuesday morning, 10th of October, 23 minutes, almost 24 minutes now after 8 o'clock. And we have 40 degrees in La Crosse right now, 41 degrees in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were going over an opinion piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Deborah Cronmiller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, which, by the way, is a nonpartisan organization that advocates for informed and active participation in government. And I was almost to the end of this piece before we had to take a break. So I'm going to give you the final paragraph of this piece. And the piece pretty much talks about the fact that in Wisconsin, we really don't have representative government because our maps, our legislative maps are so gerrymandered, they're actually considered to be the most gerrymandered maps in the entire country. In this final paragraph, Ms. Cronmiller says, for too long, a handful of politicians have divided us into districts serving their political interests instead of our community's needs. To ensure fair districting and prevent partisan gerrymandering, we must elect leaders who govern in our interests and make the promise of our democracy real for us all. Check your voter status. Register to vote. Make your voice heard and encourage friends and family to do the same. Working together, we can empower all voters so that our democracy is powerful. That's the piece from Deborah Cronmiller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, and that is posted right now at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it looks like it was just updated a couple hours ago. The headline on that opinion piece says, no public input, party line vote, nothing fair about the Wisconsin Republican redistricting map. It's 26 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Sunny. Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the sunshine bouquet. Sunny, thank you for the love you brought my way. You gave to me your all in all. And now I feel 10 feet tall. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the truth you let me see. Sunny, thank you for the facts from A to Z. My life was torn like windblown sand. Then a rock was formed when we held hands. Sunny, sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for that smile upon your face. Sunny, thank you for that gleam that flows with grace. You're my spark of nature's fire. You're my sweet, complete desire. Sunny one so true, yes, I love you. Sunny, yesterday all my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really, really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Israel is pounding Gaza with airstrikes ahead of an expected ground invasion as retaliation for Saturday's surprise attack by Hamas. The death toll on both sides tops 1,600. The National Security Council's John Kirby tells CBS Mornings.
Right now, we can confirm 11 Americans dead. We do believe, sadly, that that number will probably go up. We'll obviously keep tracking that as closely as we can.
President Biden's expected to address the nation at 1 p.m. Eastern. Congress can't act on new U.S. aid to Israel, with work stalled until Republicans pick a new House Speaker. UVA analyst Larry Sabato.
One thing that might influence this is it's a secret ballot. And as long as it stays a secret ballot, it really will be unpredictable. Because as we all know, politicians say one thing in public and do another thing in private.
Study finds the incidence of death related to strokes rising. Sheila Martins.
Hypertension, that is the main risk factor.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Supreme Court voted yesterday to reduce the amount of time some eviction records are publicly available on the state court website. In one of the first cases heard by the newly liberal Supreme Court, eviction records in cases where there is no money judgment against a tenant will now be available on the state court website for 2 years instead of 20 years. Landlord groups argued the change may force them to raise rental deposits, but legal action attorney Corey London argued landlords' claim costs will increase every time a pro-tenant change is proposed. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents to stay alert on the roads at night as the sun begins to set earlier. The DOT reminds residents 50% of accidents happen at night due to reduced visibility, and with the earlier sunsets, more residents will still be on the road when it gets dark. Drivers should make sure all their lights are working and aimed properly, the windshield is clean, and stay alert for pedestrians or deer on the road in addition to other drivers. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Kripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Thank you.
take me back, take me way 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 back. Ah, take me way. Help me understand. Take me, do you remember the time, darling, when everything made more sense in the world? Yeah. Oh, I remember when life made more sense. Take me back, 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 take me back. Oh, to
where? Oh yeah, take me back. More sense. Take me back to when the world made more sense. Van Morrison. On this Tuesday morning, 8:36 right now, it is 41 degrees in Eau Claire, 38 degrees in Amory. Take me back. Take me back. Evidently, that's what Kevin McCarthy is now saying. House Speaker, or I should say former House Speaker, now saying, take me back. And in case you haven't heard, you know, when Kevin McCarthy got ousted last week, he was saying, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to run again for that position. They kicked me out. I'm done. Let them find somebody else. But things have changed a little bit in the past week. I have a headline here from the Business Insider that says some Republicans are actually talking about reinstating McCarthy as Speaker, and he's not saying no. This piece was posted yesterday afternoon by Brian Metzger at the Business Insider. Some bullet points. First, most Republicans have moved on after Kevin McCarthy's ouster, but not all of them. Several Republicans are calling for his reinstatement, with some citing the violence in Israel. He's leaving the door open to it, saying it's up to his colleagues now to decide. Most House Republicans have moved on from last week's sudden removal of Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. A handful of Republicans are arguing not that their colleagues should choose Representative Jim Jordan or Majority Leader Steve Scalise, the two candidates currently vying for the job, but that they should try to reinstate Kevin McCarthy. Quote, the only workable outcome is to restore Kevin McCarthy, said Representative Tom McClintock, a California Republican, in a statement last Thursday. McClintock called on the Republicans who ousted McCarthy to, quote, disenthrall themselves from their decision and to repair the damage before it is too late, end quote. For a while, McClintock was the only person making this argument. Then Hamas, a Palestinian terrorist organization that governs Gaza, launched an unprecedented invasion of Israel on Saturday morning. Quote, the House should immediately reinstate McCarthy and stop screwing around, Representative Mike Lawler of New York wrote on X, formerly known as Twitter, pointed to the situation in Israel. Lawler was later joined by Representative Carlos Jimenez of Florida, who called on McCarthy to reconsider his decision to not seek the speakership again. According to Politico, several Republican lawmakers are discussing the effort amongst one another. Quote, a short window is all we need in the House to reinstate Kevin McCarthy, Representative John Duarte of California told Politico. Asked by reporters about the prospect at a press conference on Monday, yesterday, McCarthy repeatedly said he would leave the decision up to the House Republican Conference. Not exactly closing the door. Quote, that's a decision by the conference, said McCarthy. So we may be getting McCarthy back. And that wouldn't be the worst thing that could happen. I tell you, try to imagine Jim Jordan in that position. I'd rather not. Hey, it is 8:40 right now. And the next thing I want to get to here is an interesting piece I came across in the Atlantic, theatlantic.com. This is by Ann Applebaum, a journalist who's well-known for very thoughtful pieces. That's probably why she's in the Atlantic. And the headline on her new piece says, and this is, by the way, posted yesterday, the headline is, "There are no rules. States and quasi-states are using extreme, uninhibited violence against civilian populations." And this piece by Ann Applebaum starts like this. It says, "The rules-based world order is a system of norms and values that describe how the world ought to work, not how it actually works. This aspirational order is rooted in the idealistic aftermath of the Second World War, when it was transcribed into a series of documents, the United Nations Charter, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations Genocide Convention, and the Geneva Conventions on the Laws of War, among others. In the more than seven decades since they were written, these documents have frequently been ignored. The UN Genocide Convention did not prevent genocide in Rwanda. The Geneva Conventions did not stop the Vietnamese from torturing American prisoners of war, did not prevent Americans at Abu Ghraib from torturing Iraqi prisoners of war, and do not prevent Russians from torturing Ukrainian prisoners of war today. Signatories of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights include known violators of human rights, among them China, Cuba, Iran, and Venezuela. The UN Commission on Human Rights deteriorated into parody long ago. Nevertheless, these documents have influenced real behavior in the real world. Soviet dissidents used to embarrass their government by pointing to human rights languages and treaties the Kremlin had signed and did not respect. Even when fighting brutal or colonial wars, countries that had signed treaties on the laws of war either tried to abide by them, avoiding civilian casualties, for example, or at least felt remorseful when they failed to do so. Americans who mistreated Iraqi prisoners of war were court-martialed, convicted, and sentenced to time in military prisons. The British still agonize over the past behavior of their soldiers in Northern Ireland, and the French over theirs in Algeria. The Russian invasion of Ukraine and Hamas's surprise attack on Israeli civilians are both blatant rejections of that rules-based world order, and they herald something new. Both aggressors have deployed a sophisticated, militarized, modern form of terrorism, and they do not feel apologetic or embarrassed about this at all. Terrorists, by definition, are not fighting conventional wars and do not obey the laws of war. Instead, they deliberately create fear and chaos among civilian populations. Although terrorist tactics are usually associated with small revolutionary movements or clandestine groups, terrorism is now simply part of the way Russia fights wars. Although a sovereign state and a permanent member of the UN Security Council, Russia first began deliberately hitting civilian targets in Syria in 2015, including power stations, water plants, and above all, hospitals and medical facilities, 25 of which were hit in a single month in 2019. These attacks were unquestionably war crimes, and those who chose the targets knew they were war crimes. Some of the hospitals had shared their coordinates with the UN to avoid being hit. Instead, Russian and Syrian government forces may have used that information to find them. Find, F-I-N-D. In Ukraine, Russia was once again, or has once again, used artillery, cruise missiles, and drones, including Iranian drones, to hit an even wider range of civilian targets. Houses, apartment buildings, churches, restaurants, ports, grain silos. Just last week, Russian missiles hit a shop and cafe in the small village of Horza, killing more than 50 people. This kind of strike had no conventional military justification. The point is to create pain, cause civilian deaths, and sow disruption. Nothing else. Russian propagandists praise the destruction and call for more. Quote, "We should wait for the right moment and cause a migration crisis for Europe with a new influx of Ukrainians," one of them told a television talk show. 8:46 right now, got to take a break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Now I'm just a bartender, and I don't like my work, but I don't mind the money at all. I see lots of sad faces and lots of bad cases of folks with their backs to the wall. But I need four walls around me to hold my life, to keep me from going astray, and a honky-tonk angel to hold me tight, to keep me from slipping. I can light up your smokes, I can laugh at your jokes, I can watch you fall down on your knees, I can close down this bar, I can gas up my car, and I can pack up and mail in my keys. I need four walls around me.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy. We'll see highs in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Some patchy frost once again. Mostly sunny for Wednesday with a high near 57. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 41. For Thursday, chance of rain, breezy, 56.
Currently 42 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Stu Daniels Show, 8:51 right now. 42 degrees in Hayward. La Crosse has 41 degrees. And just before the break, we were discussing a piece in The Atlantic by Ann Applebaum. The piece is called There Are No Rules. States and quasi-states are using extreme, uninhibited violence against civilian populations. And Ann Applebaum talks about the fact that after World War II, the world kind of got together, created the United Nations and several laws governing war, or at least, what would you call them, documents or treaties discussing the rules of war. That's right, war had rules. But now, according to Ms. Applebaum, there are no rules. I'll get back to where I left off in this piece from The Atlantic. It says here, Hamas is not a sovereign state, but it has the full backing of Iran, which is a sovereign state, and funding from Qatar, a sovereign state as well. Since 2006, Hamas has also been the de facto ruling party in Gaza, a self-governing territory since the Israeli withdrawal in 2005. Nevertheless, Hamas does not see itself as part of any kind of order. On Saturday, Hamas launched what appears to have been a well-planned, well-organized attack designed to spread civilian terror and create chaos. Hamas deployed missiles and drones, including kamikaze drones of the kind used now in Russia and Ukraine, as well as teams of men with guns. Although they hit a few military outposts, they also murdered more than 200 people at a music festival, chased down children and the elderly, and in some towns went from house to house looking for people to murder. They abducted young women, beat them unconscious, and dragged them across the border, a war crime that is as old as Homer's Iliad. The Hamas terrorists paid no attention to any modern laws of war or any norms of any kind, like the Russians, Hamas, and its Iranian backers, who were also Russian allies, run nihilistic regimes whose goal is to undo whatever remains of the rule-based world order and to put anarchy in its place. They did not hide their war crimes. Instead, they filmed them and circulated the videos online. Their goal was not to gain territory or engage an army, but rather to create misery and anger, which they have, and not only in Israel. Hamas had to give, or had to have, anticipated a massive retaliation in Gaza, and indeed that retaliation has begun. As a result, hundreds, if not thousands, of Palestinian civilians will now be victims too. To explain why one permanent member of the UN Security Council and one quasi-state have adopted this kind of behavior, it is best to start with the nature of their own totalitarian regimes. But there is plenty more blame to go around, because the rules-based order, always pretty tenuous, has actually been dying for a long time. Autocracies led by China have been seeking to undermine or remove language about human rights and the rule of law from international forums for years, replacing it with the language of sovereignty. Not that this is just a matter of language. The Chinese have carried out atrocities against their Uyghur minority for years. So far, with impunity, and openly conducted a successful assault on the rights of the population of Hong Kong. They and others have also indulged in deliberately provocative behavior designed to mock the rule of law outside their own borders. Belarus got away with forcing an Irish-owned airplane to land in Minsk and then kidnapping one of its citizens who was on board. Russia has organized murders of its citizens in London, Washington, and Berlin. Democracies led by the United States bear a lot of blame too, either for refusing to enforce anything resembling order when they could, or for violating the rules themselves. George W. Bush condoned interrogation black sites and torture during the War on Terror. Barack Obama accused the Syrians of using chemical weapons, then failed to do anything to stop them. Donald Trump went out of his way to pardon American war criminals and continues to advocate extrajudicial murders, among other things, implying that the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff deserves to be executed. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has notably indulged the most extreme voices in Israeli politics, including political figures who explicitly seek to undermine Israel's independent judiciary and Israeli rule of law, and parties whose members openly advocate for the mass expulsion of Arabs from the country. One member of his own party, Likud, repeated that same call on Sunday. It's 8:58 right now. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. We're going to stop right there on that story from The Atlantic. If you want to check it out for yourself, read the rest of it, you can. It's at theatlantic.com with a headline that says, "There Are No Rules" by Ann Applebaum. Stick around. Got the news coming up. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.